Would you pray with me? Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks that you have gathered us to your place, that you have gathered us as your people to worship you, to sing praises to your name, to recall and hear again the good news that you offer to us. Remember the transformation that it brought in our lives and expect it to happen again. May your Spirit move among us, that the words of our hearts and the prayers of our very spirits would be heard by you, that through reading your word and hearing it proclaimed, whether through me or in spite of me, we all may hear your voice, be transformed in your presence, and that transformed nature be carried out in how we live and how we treat those around us. We ask this all in the name of Christ. Amen.
First reading is from Psalm 122, a song of ascent of David. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. According to the statute given to Israel, there stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones in the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
The Gospel of Mark, moving to chapter 6, we're reading verses 7 to 13 and then 30. Then Jesus went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. We go to verse 30 in the same chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are continuing through the Gospel of Mark. If you remember how I said in the Gospel of Mark, there's an immediacy to Jesus' actions. There's not a lot of frilly language. There's not a lot of fluffer and story. It's this thing happened, and then immediately this thing happened, and then this thing happened. We're moving quickly through the gospel. Mark has a story to tell, and he wants the people who are hearing it to get it, not be confused by anything else, not be worried about anything extra, and just get the good news and get what Jesus was trying to do. Now, we know that before Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples did not get most of what he was teaching. They did not understand who he was and fully understand what he was there to accomplish. We see this over and over again as the disciples try to grasp at it. They get it wrong, Jesus corrects them, and then they try again. And this in and of itself is a good message to hear as we seek to live out as Jesus' disciples. We are going to grasp at what it means for how we live and how we live out his mission, but we're going to get it wrong. And that doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we can't do what Jesus asks us to do. It just means that we've got to go back to him to say, is this right? And if it's not, try again. Because at some point along the journey of the Christian church, especially in the last 30 or 40 years, we have thought of being this Christian as being disciple, as one who dutifully goes to church on Sunday, who makes sure they live a good life, that doesn't cause trouble, that minds relatively our own business, and hopefully at some point along the way,
invite somebody else to go be a part of the church, to come to the church, and that's how the church would grow. And this worked for a number of years, but it has not worked for a number of years. This way of being church, where it's all about gathering in a common space and hoping and inviting other people into that space, just isn't working anymore. And so it's time for us now to go back to Jesus and say, are we right? What do we need to do differently? What we were doing before worked well, but it's clear that it isn't. The world is not coming to church. The community is not seeing the church as this place of blessing, of encouragement, and of grace. They're seeing some parts of the church say some really weird things that are praising immigrants being cut by razor wire because they should have been following the law to begin with. And these are Christians saying this. They're seeing Christians say that there should be a Christian in power, that the laws of the nation should be designed and empowered by the Christian faith, and that's it, and anything outside of that is just evil. And they're willing to turn over our government and our constitution to put a Christian on power, forgetting that every time this has happened in our history, it usually has been not only a disaster for those outside of the church, but it's been a disaster for those inside the church as well, and disastrous for the church. So what we have been trying to do and what we have thought we had to do needs a gut check. Because we hear in this gospel story that Jesus sends the disciples out into the world two by two. He knew that it wasn't going to be enough for Jesus and the disciples to huddle together and stay together and expect everyone to come to him. He knew that the world was not going to be transformed if everybody had to come to where he was to hear him speak and see him do miracles, and then their life would be transformed and that would go out into the world. It just wasn't going to work because not everybody could come to him. Not everybody would come to him, and it didn't have to rely entirely on his efforts, his words, and his deeds alone. And I get the sense he knew that because instead of keeping the disciples close to him so that they could minister to him and with him, he sends them out into the community. He sends them out into the surrounding countryside two by two, and he commands them and he empowers them to do what he had been doing. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power to heal. He gave them power to teach. He sent them out into people's homes. And he told them, some people will accept you and welcome you into their homes, and some people won't. Expect that, but do it anyway. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear this and I place myself in the disciples' shoes, my instinct is to say, wait, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready. Jesus, I need to stay near you for just a little bit longer. Maybe if I hear you teach some more, if I see you do some of these things, it just a little bit longer, then surely I'll be able to do it as well. But I'm not ready yet. Just let me stay with you for a while longer. Driven out of like a fear of messing up, a fear of saying the wrong thing, of doing the wrong thing, of representing Christ wrong, out of all of those fears and uncertainties is this desire to say, well, if I can't get it wrong, if I stay close to Jesus and it doesn't rely on me. But Jesus sent them anyway. Jesus sent them out. Perhaps that's why he sent them out two by two. One person, it's really easy to get it wrong and then run with it and not be corrected. But if two people are going side by side, they're able to check in with each other. Did I say that right? Did I get, Jesus taught us this thing the other day and I wanted to share that. Did I get that right? And they can say, sure you did. Or you didn't, and they can talk about that. They're casting out demons. They're casting out unclean spirits. They're bringing healing and anointing while they're out doing these things. In our call to worship and in our prayers, we talked about how God is sending us out into the world to do amazing things. And that too can be a hindrance to our going out into the world and doing what Jesus had commanded us to do. Because they think, I can't do amazing things. I can only do normal things. And if I can't do amazing things, then surely I'm not ready. But when we hear in Scripture that all of heaven rejoices when a single sinner repents and turns to Him, then when we find out that even the smallest things that happen in Christ's name, even the smallest transformations, the smallest work in our eyes is truly amazing in the sight of heaven. So it's not about big and flashy, it's about transformation. It's about people who feel lost, who feel alone, who feel that there is nothing in this world for them, who are looking for direction, who can't find their way, who feel rejected and unloved by all, and especially God, who have questions and doubts and earnestly want to find an answer. It's when they find something to grab onto, when they hear the message of Christ of forgiveness and hope and resurrection and transformation, that the way things are, not the way things God wants them to be, and the way we are, are not how God has created us to be. This is the transformation that can happen through the people of God, the disciples of Christ, being willing to step out of their comfort zones, to go into the places where people are gathered, where people are asking those questions, where people are feeling alone, and just saying, I'm here. How can I help you? What questions do you have? Do you want to know more? This is how God has transformed my life as I followed Christ. And it hasn't made things always easier. It hasn't always made things happier, but it has given me peace. Do you want that for yourself? You don't have to get it right. You don't have to be right all of the time. You don't have to be perfect in being a disciple.
Do I mean the prayer of confession?
But you do have to be willing to be sent. Because that's what Jesus is doing with us. It's not enough for us to come and to be in the presence of Jesus for an hour a week and hopefully some other time in small groups and Bible studies and personal prayer, whatever it may be. It's not enough to come to Jesus to say, I want to be in your presence. It's enough. It's hearing his voice to say, go and do. Share with others what you have heard. Share with others what you've experienced and seen for yourself and you know to be true. And share that with others. Some people will welcome you. Some people will accept you in. Some people will want to know more and they will seek it out with curiosity and ask questions and explore it further and be open to what you have to say. Celebrate those times. Stay with those people for as long as you can. Just like Jesus told the disciples. Some people will say no. They don't want what you have to offer. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to find, they just don't find meaning in it or hope in it or any reason for it. And they will close the door on you. That's going to happen. It happened to the disciples as Jesus sent them. And that's okay. Move on. But don't stop. The last verse in this passage, for whatever reason, gives me hope, terrifies me a little bit, and gives me a little bit of that urgency that we see in the Gospel of Mark on why we should do this. We skipped over in our reading today the death of John the Baptist. It didn't seem like it fit with this, and that's why we skipped over it. You can go back and reread it. Some of you may be reading it now. I'm not sure. But we get to that verse 30. They went out into the countryside and did what Jesus commanded them to do, did the things that Jesus showed them how to do and told them to do. And then they came back and they gave an account to Jesus of all that they had done, all that they had said, and everything that had happened since he sent them. Why does this verse terrify me a little bit? Why does it make me a little uneasy, and why does it give me a sense of urgency? It's because I believe that at the end of all things, I believe there will be a time where we will come in face to face with Jesus, and we will give an account of all that we had seen, all that we had done, all that we had heard, and all that we proclaimed in his name. And our salvation doesn't hinder on the account that we give. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that. I don't believe that our salvation hinders on anything that we do. But I do believe there might be an uncomfortable conversation to be had. Because I know that there are times when Jesus has called me. I know that there are times when Jesus said, go and talk to this person. Go and share the good news. And I know there are times where I've gone in the other direction, where I didn't put my heart into it, where I didn't think I was ready. I didn't think I was prepared. I didn't think I had what I needed. I didn't think that I was what God needed in that situation or could use in that situation. I know those times exist. I know when my fears and my feelings of inadequacy, my uncertainties, my desire to get it perfect have prevented me from doing anything. And so when I come to Christ, I stand before him face to face and I give an account of what I had done. I know there's going to be times where I'm not going to be happy or proud about what I'm saying. And again, it doesn't make Jesus love us any less. But it helps me understand that I am missing out. If all of heaven rejoices when a single sinner repents, if all of heaven has a party when a single sinner repents and comes to believe in Christ, I am missing out on the party. I am missing out on the celebration. I am missing out on seeing the power of the gospel in our world firsthand. I am missing out on seeing the power of God at work in the world today when I refuse to let the power of God work through me. That ultimately hurts me. It hurts those who don't hear, but I believe God will send other people, hopefully, for that person to respond to. But I've missed out on the party.
Then Jesus went about
among the villages,
teaching.
Missed out on the power and the reassurance that in the midst of my uncertainty, in the midst of my limitation,
he ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag,
no money in their belts. Is shown through. Give you the confidence, the assurance, and the trust to take bigger and bigger steps. So we are on a mission. We are called by God, by Christ, gathered by His Spirit, to take all that we have heard and all that we have learned and all that we have done, or that He has done, and to go.
And cured them.
To go out where there are people desperate to hear that good news.
Verse 30 in the same chapter.
Whether you need to couch it into the fact that they need to hear it to be saved, or you whether need to be understand it in terms of sharing it because they are missing out on the blessings and the transformation in this life that is possible. However you want to look at it, just go. Be on mission and trust in God to be with you. Trust in the Spirit to give you what you need. And take somebody else along with
you
so that you can encourage one another, correct one another, and carry one another when
our
strength fails
and
our nerve runs out.
May your Spirit move among us.
This is how we live out our mission.
That the words of our hearts,
not by staying in these four walls,
would be heard by you,
hoping other people will come in to join us inside these four
proclaimed, whether through me or in spite of me.
But by all of us who have gathered, leaving these four walls,
be transformed in your presence,
and then coming back to give an account of all that we have done since we've last gathered,
and how we treat those around us,
and all that God has done through us.
Amen.
Amen.
We are continuing through the Gospel of Mark. If you remember how I said in the Gospel of Mark, there's an immediacy to Jesus' actions. There's not a lot of frilly language. There's not a lot of fluffer and story. It's this thing happened, and then immediately this thing happened, and then this thing happened. We're moving quickly through the gospel. Mark has a story to tell, and he wants the people who are hearing it to get it, not be confused by anything else, not be worried about anything extra, and just get the good news and get what Jesus was trying to do. Now, we know that before Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples did not get most of what he was teaching. They did not understand who he was and fully understand what he was there to accomplish. We see this over and over again as the disciples try to grasp at it. They get it wrong, Jesus corrects them, and then they try again. And this in and of itself is a good message to hear as we seek to live out as Jesus' disciples. We are going to grasp at what it means for how we live and how we live out his mission, but we're going to get it wrong. And that doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we can't do what Jesus asks us to do. It just means that we've got to go back to him to say, is this right? And if it's not, try again. Because at some point along the journey of the Christian church, especially in the last 30 or 40 years, we have thought of being this Christian as being a disciple, as one who dutifully goes to church on Sunday, who makes sure they live a good life, that doesn't cause trouble, that minds relatively our own business, and hopefully at some point along the way invite somebody else to go be a part of the church, to come to the church, and that's how the church would grow. And this worked for a number of years, but it has not worked for a number of years. This way of being church, where it's all about gathering in a common space and hoping and inviting other people into that space, just isn't working anymore. And so it's time for us now to go back to Jesus and say, are we right? What do we need to do differently? What we were doing before worked well, but it's clear that it isn't. The world is not coming to church. The community is not seeing the church as this place of blessing, of encouragement, and of grace. They're seeing some parts of the church say some really weird things that are praising immigrants being cut by razor wire because they should have been following the law to begin with. And these are Christians saying this. They're seeing Christians say that there should be a Christian in power, that the laws of the nation should be designed and empowered by the Christian faith, and that's it, and anything outside of that is just evil. And they're willing to turn over our government and our constitution to put a Christian on power, forgetting that every time this has happened in our history, it usually has been not only a disaster for those outside of the church, but it's been a disaster for those inside the church as well, and disastrous for the church. So what we have been trying to do and what we have thought we had to do needs a gut check. Because we hear in this gospel story that Jesus sends the disciples out into the world two by two. He knew that it wasn't going to be enough for Jesus and the disciples to huddle together and stay together and expect everyone to come to him. He knew that the world was not going to be transformed if everybody had to come to where he was to hear him speak and see him do miracles, and then their life would be transformed and that would go out into the world. It just wasn't going to work because not everybody could come to him. Not everybody would come to him. And it didn't have to rely entirely on his efforts, his words, and his deeds alone. And I get the sense he knew that because instead of keeping the disciples close to him so that they could minister to him and with him, He sends them out into the community. He sends them out into the surrounding countryside, two by two, and he commands them and he empowers them to do what he had been doing. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power to heal. He gave them power to teach. He sent them out into people's homes, and he told them some people will accept you and welcome you into their homes, and some people won't.
Expect that, but do it anyway.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear this and I place myself in the disciples' shoes, my instinct is to say, wait, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready. Jesus, I need to stay near you for just a little bit longer. Maybe if I hear you teach some more, if I see you do some of these things, it just a little bit longer,
then surely I'll be able to do it as well. But I'm not ready yet. Just let me stay with you for a while longer.
Driven out of like a fear of messing up, a fear of saying the wrong thing, of doing the wrong thing, of representing Christ wrong, out of all of those fears and uncertainties is this desire to say, well, if I can't get it wrong, if I stay close to Jesus and it doesn't rely on me. But Jesus sent them anyway. Jesus sent them out. Perhaps that's why he sent them out two by two. One person, it's really easy to get it wrong and then run with it and not be corrected. But if two people are going side by side, they're able to check in with each other. Did I say that right? Did I get... Jesus taught us this thing the other day and I wanted to share that. Did I get that right? And they can say, sure, you did. They get... Or you didn't, and they can talk about that. They're casting out demons. They're casting out unclean spirits. They're bringing healing and anointing while they're out doing these things. In our call to worship, in our prayers, we talked about how God is sending us out into the world to do amazing things. And that, too, can be a hindrance to our going out into the world and doing what Jesus had commanded us to do. Because they think, oh, I can't do amazing things. I can only do normal things. And if I can't do amazing things, then surely I'm not ready. But when we hear in Scripture that all of heaven rejoices when a single sinner repents and turns to him, then when we find out that even the smallest things that happen in Christ's name, even the smallest transformations, the smallest work in our eyes is truly amazing in the sight of heaven. So it's not about big and flashy, it's about transformation. It's about people who feel lost, who feel alone, who feel that there is nothing in this world for them, who are looking for direction, who can't find their way, who feel rejected and unloved by all, and especially God, who have questions and doubts and earnestly want to find an answer. It's when they find something to grab onto, when they hear the message of Christ of forgiveness and hope and resurrection and transformation, that the way things are, not the way things God wants them to be, and the way I am, the way we are not how God has created us to be. This is the transformation that can happen through the people of God, the disciples of Christ, being willing to step out of their comfort zones, to go into the places where people are gathered, where people are asking those questions, where people are feeling alone, and just saying, I'm here. How can I help you? What questions do you have? Do you want to know more? This is how God has transformed my life as I've followed Christ. And it hasn't made things always easier. It hasn't always made things happier, but it has given me peace. Do you want that for yourself? You don't have to get it right. You don't have to be right all of the time. You don't have to be perfect in being a disciple. But you do have to be willing to be sent. Because that's what Jesus is doing with us. It's not enough for us to come and to be in the presence of Jesus for an hour a week and hopefully some other time in small groups and Bible studies and personal prayer, whatever it may be. It's not enough to come to Jesus to say, I want to be in your presence. It's enough. It's hearing his voice to say, go and do. Share with others what you have heard. Share with others what you've experienced and seen for yourself and you know to be true. And share that with others. Some people will welcome you. Some people will accept you in. Some people will want to know more and they will seek it out with curiosity and ask questions and explore it further and be open to what you have to say. Celebrate those times. Stay with those people for as long as you can.
Just like Jesus told the disciples.
Some people will say no. They don't want what you have to offer. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to find, they just don't find meaning in it or hope in it or any reason for it. And they will close the door on you. That's going to happen. It happened to the disciples as Jesus sent them. And that's okay. Move on. But don't stop. The last verse in this passage, for whatever reason, gives me hope, terrifies me a little bit, and gives me a little bit of that urgency that we see in the Gospel of Mark on why we should do this. We skipped over in our reading today the death of John the Baptist. It didn't seem like it fit with this, and that's why we skipped over it. You can go back and reread it. Some of you may be reading it now. I'm not sure. But we get to that verse 30. They went out into the countryside and did what Jesus commanded them to do, did the things that Jesus showed them how to do and told them to do. And then they came back and they gave an account to Jesus of all that they had done, all that they had said, and everything that had happened since he sent them. Why does this verse terrify me a little bit? Why does it make me a little uneasy, and why does it give me a sense of urgency? It's because I believe that at the end of all things, I believe there will be a time where we will come in face to face with Jesus and we will give an account of all that we had seen, all that we had done, all that we had heard, and all that we proclaimed in his name. And our salvation doesn't hinder on the account that we give. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that. I don't believe that our salvation hinders on anything that we do. But I do believe there might be an uncomfortable conversation to be had. Because I know that there are times when Jesus has called me. I know that there are times when Jesus said, go and talk to this person. Go and share the good news. And I know there are times where I've gone in the other direction, where I didn't put my heart into, where I didn't think I was ready. I didn't think I was prepared. I didn't think I had what I needed. I didn't think that I was what God needed in that situation or could use in that situation. I know those times exist. I know when my fears and my feelings of inadequacy, my uncertainties, my desire to get it perfect, have prevented me from doing anything. And so when I come to Christ, I stand before him face to face and I give an account, I know there's going to be times where I'm not going to be happy or proud about what I'm saying. And again, it doesn't make Jesus love us any less. But it helps me understand that I am missing out. If all of heaven rejoices when a single sinner repents, if all of heaven has a party when a single sinner repents and comes to believe in Christ, I am missing out on the party. I am missing out on the celebration. I am missing out on seeing the power of the gospel in our world firsthand
when I refuse to be sent? Or when I let fear hold me back? I am missing out on seeing the power of God at work in the world today when I refuse to let the power of God work through me. That ultimately hurts me. I miss it.
Then Jesus went about.
It hurts those who don't hear, but I believe God will send other people, hopefully, for that person to respond. I've missed out on the party.
He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff.
And the reassurance
that
in the midst of my uncertainty, in the midst of my limitation,
and to put on two tunics.
Power is made perfect.
He said to them, wherever you
God's
enter a
power
house, stay there until you leave the
is
place.
Shown through.
If any place will not welcome
if
you and
the
they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet.
The assurance
as a testimony
and the
them.
Trust to
so
take bigger and bigger
and
steps.
Proclaim that all should repent.
So we are on a mission.
Many demons,
we are called by God's, by Christ,
sick,
gathered by his Spirit, to take all that we have heard and all that we have learned and all that we have done, or that he has done,
the apostles gathered around Jesus and told them,
and to go,
told him all that they had done and taught.
To go out where there are people desperate to hear that good news. Whether you need to couch it into the fact that they need to hear it to be saved, or you whether need to be understand it in terms of sharing it because they are missing out on the blessings and the transformation.
Gracious, loving God, we give you
in
thanks
this life
that
is possible.
To your place, that you have
however you want to look at it,
to worship
just
you,
go.
To sing praises to your name,
be
to,
on mission and trust
and hear again
in God to be with
you.
Trust in
us.
The Spirit to
remember
give you what you need.
Transformation that it brought
and take somebody else along with you
and expect it to happen
so that you
again.
Can encourage one another.
Your
encourage one another,
us, that the
correct
words of
one
our
another,
hearts and the prayers of our
and carry one another when
would be,
our strength fails and our nerve runs out.
And that through reading your word and hearing it
this is how we live out our mission.
In spite of me, we
not by saying in these four walls,
in your presence, and
hoping other people will come in to join us inside these four
and how we treat those around us. We ask this
but
all
by all of us who have gathered, leaving
Amen.
These four walls,
so we are continuing
and then coming back to give an account of all that
Mark.
We have done since we've last
if
gathered.
You remember how I said the gospel of, in the gospel of
and
Mark,
all that God has done through
to Jesus' actions. There's not a lot
Amen.
Of.
And so receive this benediction. May you go from this place being sent by the one who gathered you, that he knows what you are, he knows who you are, he knows what you bring and where you feel you are lacking. And he makes up for that with his grace and his Spirit. So trust in him to guide you, to share the good news that you have heard, all that you have seen and that you have done, all that you know where God is at work, and share that with those in our communities so that they too may come to know the God who loves them so much that he gave his only Son for their sake, so that all may be transformed and be made whole. May you go in that knowledge, trusting in him. And now let us say the words we say each week that are on the screens above. Send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved in other places. If they can't come to us, send us to them. May you go from this place trusting in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May he guide you and protect you until we gather again. Amen.